Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, for most of you who know me, as John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be your co-host, and I'm, of course, a Messianic pastor or a Messianic rabbi, for those who don't know me. And our quest here on this broadcast is to reveal the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior, and for some of us out there, our Bridegroom, Yahushua. Now, at this time, I have the awesome pleasure to introduce the second half, or the other half, of the co-host, and that's Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi John. And of course, just so that you know, it is truly a blessing to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. And this is our 47th show, and we will continue to answer the question about us being tabernacles and how to what we're supposed to do in our personal worship with Yah and meeting Him. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John. Thank you for the introduction.
Amen. And Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we invite you to share with us, to give us an insight, an understanding of the relationship that you desire in worship, what worship is about, how we are to implement that worship in our own personal lives, and corporately with fellow believers, how we are to implement that worship and to understand that the worship is not the end all, but it's a process to something that you are desiring, an assignment that helps to enrich our relationship with you, that you desire for us, with you, as well as with and for others. So, Father, right now, asking you to forgive me for sin, iniquity, and transgression, I choose, I make a quality decision right now to forgive those who have sinned against me, who caused iniquity and transgression against me and my family. Father, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for the purpose by which you have called us for such a time as this, and a program like this to touch and heal, to set free, to deliver, to empower, to promote the fullness of who and what you called each and every one of us on this earth to be and to do. With that being said, we glorify you in Yahushua's name. Amen and amen. So I'm excited about this particular broadcast for one unique reason, and that is, as Evangelist Anita gives you a synopsis of where we are and where we've been, one of the things that I want to do, that I feel really led to do this particular time, is to begin to allow a dialogue between Evangelist Anita and myself as to where we have gone thus far. And primarily is because the next area that we need to go into, the next spiritual chamber that we're going to enter into, is the Holy of Holies. And to me, that needs to be a totally different segmented broadcast than where we've come from the outer court to the holy place in the inner court. So we want to make sure, and I want to make sure, that everyone out there listening has a good understanding of where we've come from. Because that's imperative that we understand that, so that we can really begin to value, treasure, respect, and be all in the aspect of obedience to where we're getting ready to go. So with that being said, I'm going to pass it to Evangelist Tanita again. She's going to give you the overarching outline of where we've been. And then I'm just going to begin to ask a few questions with her from her own perspective of how Yah is dealing with her pertaining to this particular question and pertaining to where and what we've already discussed thus far. Okay? And at this time, I'm going to pass it to you again, Evangelist Tanita.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi John. And so I will start at the last show, giving a brief synopsis, and then I know we're going to do an overall. And so in the last show, you had us looking at Abram in Genesis chapter 15. And in that particular chapter, it was dealing with the blessings of Abraham in verses 1 through 6. And you gave us a great example of how Peter, when he stepped out on the word, not the water, he stepped out towards to reach his destiny, but his faith failed. He only had enough faith to get him to Yahushua, Jesus, but not to his next assignment on earth. And that was one of the things you were letting us know, that we need to make sure that we have faith, not just to get to where we're going, but to also make sure that we're doing what we're called to do. So Peter's faith only focused on his desire of where he wanted to go. We have to have the relationship to not only to go, but even from there to fulfill the mandate. And one of the things that I really loved what you said worship is not the end, but it is the empowering of all for the end. Now, that was a powerful nugget to me, because I know you've told us worship has to do with the relationship. Also, in verse 6, you pointed out an account of righteousness making a deposit over in verse 17. And a great summary was in chapter 15, Abram was in the process. But 15 through 17 was a derailment of the process. And then chapter 17 dealt with the application to finish his path, the process. And so Abram had a lot of needless things going on in chapter 16 that, hindered him. So you let us know that in chapter 15, he was 86 years old. And how were we able to calculate that? It's because Ishmael was circumcised at the age of 13. So at 99 is when he began the process again. So for 13 years, he was not walking blameless. What we do with our worship determines the divine appointment with Yah. The Father speaks to you in the worship, after the veil, and to the mercy seat. So first thing is that we get our instructions, and then second, we have to be obedient to those instructions. And you pointed out again in chapter 17, verse 1, you need to be blameless before Yah. Verse 2, Yah is not acknowledging the sin of Ishmael like in Abraham. But that's the veil between him and you, you and Yah. Abram repented by falling on his face in verse 3. And in verse 4, Yah's covenant was with him, and the same with us. Worship is not enough, but it's worship and obedience that must be done together to enter into the Holy of Holies. And so obedience of fulfilling the purpose and the calling is why we're here and what we're commanded to do. And so that was the last show, and so I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi, to ask more questions.
Okay. All right, and in asking the questions, I want to just kind of make sure for those of you that may be hearing this for the first time, that when Evangelist Anita was talking about 15 and 17, she was talking about Genesis chapter 15, okay?
Yes.
And then she was also talking about Genesis chapter 17. And one of the important things that I want to make sure that you grasp from what she was sharing that happened last week is that chapter 16 is a needless chapter of 13 years. Chapter 16 of Genesis is a needless chapter. In other words, it's a chapter that should not, if we're walking perfect before Yah, it should not have been there. Now, I and you, I'm sure, thank you, Father, for placing it in there, because one of the things that we all know and that we all remember is that Abraham is the father of faith. Now, when you think about that, you place a person up in a high pedestal because, wow, if God calls him, if Yah says you are the father of faith, then you begin to think, at least I do in myself, I begin to think, wow, you know, he's probably this Superman or this unique, you know, extreme individual that is hard to achieve any of the things that he's done. But when we begin to see the hiccups, when we begin to see the weaknesses, when we begin to see and really find within Scripture where he's failed, where he's fallen from grace, fallen from relationship, but yet he was being redeemed back to relationship. I don't know about you, but it gives me hope. It gives me a relief that this is not a perfect individual, you know. So with that, it's imperative that you understand with what was shared that Genesis 15 is where the process started as far as Yah and Abram. But it wasn't until Genesis 17, and this is chapter 17, chapter 15 to chapter 17, to where he redeems, he being the father, redeems Abram. And Abram steps into all of what he was supposed to step in to begin to walk the path out properly. One of the other things I want to make sure that we mention here before we begin to go into the questions is that although chapter 16 was not supposed to happen, which means Ishmael was not on or in the plan of Yah, we have to realize, we have to understand that the fullness of this understanding here is the fact that we all can look not as far back for some of us, but we can all look and say, that was an Ishmael. That the father was wooing me, and then I succumbed to an Ishmael situation. Understand this. Not that Yah desires anyone to produce Ishmaels, but any of our Ishmaels doesn't hinder the word of God over our life and what is supposed to happen. So as we begin to embrace what is supposed to happen in our life and begin to give to Yah the Ishmaels that we produced instead, he will be faithful. He will be faithful to produce the Isaac that he called for out of you and out of me. That's important. Keep our focus on the Isaacs. Don't ignore, obviously, the Ishmaels. But give those Ishmaels to Yah and allow Yah to determine what needs to happen to them, those Ishmaels. Detach yourself from the emotion, the emotional connection of the Ishmael, and reattach that emotion. Don't throw it away, but reattach that emotion towards the Isaacs that the Father has placed within you. Because the emotion is a God-given, created component of what makes your soul. So he never desired for you to just go emotionalist. But what he's desiring of you is to place the emotion where it needs to be so that your whole soul, will and mind and emotion are engaged in exactly the Isaacs that the Father decides to produce in you. So with that, I'm going to transition here into what we were talking about. And Evangelist Anita, I want you to go ahead and, if you would, answer a couple of questions for me. One particular question is, what are some of the rich nuggets that you've applied to your own worship time, to your own life, based upon the question that someone else out there has shared with us? What have you gotten out of that?
So what I have gotten out of it was the importance of going from the outer court to the inner court, waiting for Yahushua to invite me to move through each article the altar of incense, the showbread. I know I'm not saying it in order, but moving through each process to make sure that I'm where I need to be. One of the things that that has really blessed me also was that we had been taught, and let me speak for myself personally, because, of course, I was what we would call Christianese. So we were taught that worship, you know, if you got that high, that you were there. And realizing that it's not based on the emotions, but truly that relationship of knowing how to truly enter in. Worship is more than just singing. Worship is more than just dancing. But even though I have never been married, like you gave examples between a husband and wife, knowing how to move. And so if we have that same relationship with Yeshua, because he is the bridegroom, and we're waiting on him to lead us, we'll know how to move from the outer court to the inner court, from the inner court to the Holy of Holies, where he's going to bring us, between him and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will bring us to the Father, and then we can enter into the Holy of Holies, where we'll be cleansed and pure. So it has really blessed me with the sensitivity of knowing how to wait. How do you wait and truly enter in that right place with him?
Amen. And the second question I have, that's good. And the second question I have is, have you been able to identify, especially when we went into to Zechariah chapter 3, and we were in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, especially when we were discussing in a few broadcasts ago pertaining to the same question, when we were discussing the fact that in worship we have the linen garment and we're coming in alone by ourselves in order to go into the Holy of Holies, when we have that particular aspect, that particular understanding, okay, then my question to you is this, is have you noticed in your own life where as Yah speaks to you and you begin to go from glory to glory, from level to level in him, from relationship to relationship, from an external to an internal, and then from the internal to an intimate, have you noticed that the adversary has been at every single crucial point of victory that you have experienced?
Yes, and I know I'm laughing. I will say there is a fight. And the fight is when the enemy, knowing his voice versus Yeshua's voice, and realizing the enemy's always there to distract. The enemy's always there to keep you from entering in. And I always think of the scripture that says, the sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they shall not follow. So does it mean I'm not going to hear the stranger's voice? No, but I don't follow it. So the stranger's voice always there at the same time that my bridegroom is there saying, come on in. The stranger's voice wants me to say, no, you can't enter in, but he is my sacrifice. He is the showbread. He's the one who purifies me and cleanses me. And whatever I've done, like with Abram, as long as I've fallen down and repented and given of myself to him, he's the one that cleanses my garment, washes me so that I can be presented. That's where I will say, yes, I've noticed it more now than I've ever noticed it before.
Amen. Amen. And I hope that everyone out there is really taking mental notes. And the reason why I say that I pray that you're taking mental notes is because this is a pattern that's not unique to just Evangelist Tanita or myself. This is a pattern that the adversary utilizes regularly, and he's not going to change his pattern. And the reason why, the main reason why he's not going to change his pattern is because we were, as David has, King David has said so eloquently, we have been wrapped in iniquity. Mm-hmm. Now, iniquity in the Hebrew, we have to understand what it truly means from an English perspective. It literally means that the truth is just being distorted, twisted, or perverted. So the adversary knows that given time, that even the truth that we know, if not habitually practiced, even the truth that we know is going to become very vague and dim to the spiritual eye. And that we will eventually, if kept, you know, in that state and unchecked by the Holy Spirit and by associations through worship and through fellowship and through the congregation, we're going to fall. We are going to fall. So if that is the case, which it is, we don't have to look very far, from the mirror to know that this is the truth. When you go back and, take inventory of your life, the thing that's imperative that we begin to see and understand about this is that why would the adversary ever change his game plan if he knows that time is on his side pertaining to this perspective and not on our side? So it's imperative that we get that and that we understand that. Okay, now, pertaining to the holy place, and there was a couple of furnishings that you did mention, one being the menorah, and then, of course, the other one being the showbread, and then, of course, at right in front of the veil, we have the altar of incense. So with that understanding, which one of those has been impacting you the most in this teaching? Not that it will always be that way, but I mean, we find ourselves in different places and different seasons of our life. And although these furnishings are still the same and they're not going to change their emphasis, oftentimes depending upon where we are and how the Spirit of Yah and how Yahushua himself has to deal with us, one may be emphasized more and impact us more than the other two. So I'll let you share.
So the showbread, and because of the communion, that one that even in our services, I'm like, I gotta get my communion in. That's the showbread. That one means so much because it's like I feel like I'm communing with my husband. Because the bread is his body and the blood is life. It's him.
Yes.
And he's made that sacrifice for me. And so whenever, here again, going back to the enemy trying to tell me one thing, I can look at my husband and know that he's my covering. He has covered me. He has delivered me. And as long as my heart is right, and I'm willing to do, like David, being repentant, willing to do Yah's will, he's got me. Like with, and I forgot, I know you'll remind me, the garments, if the enemy's trying to tell me my garments are dirty, my husband is like, well, I have a new set for you. Here you go, put these on, because I've washed
them. Amen.
And so I realized that I'm dependent on him more and more, as I'm understanding more, as I'm gaining that knowledge, I realize how much more I need him now with a more Hebraic understanding than I did before, because the walk is not easy, and I can't do it without him. I don't have the strength.
That's right.
I can't do it. So I have to rely on him. So the showbread is probably the one that has impacted me the most.
I follow you. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And what I love about, there's a lot of what I love about what you just shared, but one of the things that impacted me just now, pertaining to what you shared, was the fact that through, and that was pertaining to Joshua, not Joshua the Nun, or Joshua the son of Nun, but that was Joshua the high priest that was talked about in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. But what I love about how you brought out that that event is that the husband has the extra change of clothes. Because the husband knows his wife.
Yeah.
And he knows the weaknesses, he knows the limitations, mm-hmm. he knows where she needs him most.
Mm-hmm.
So he dies for her. He shows himself to be submitted to fulfilling all and completing all of her needs. And what I love about what you were saying is that this is a reality, a revelational reality that you're coming into from the Hebraic and understanding it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop with just the salvation issue.
No.
It doesn't stop when you say, I do, to your husband.
That's right.
It doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beginning of the ancient Jewish wedding process. Just the beginning.
Yeah.
So for those of you that have not finished your process and probably don't even know what I'm talking about, at the end of this broadcast, Evangelist Anita is going to give you more information so that you can reach out to us and begin to ask the hard questions, the deep-rooted questions that feel that cause you to feel incomplete, that causes you to say, within your own self, maybe not to others, but within your own self, there's got to be more than this. Because just a I do doesn't get it, doesn't fulfill it. It begins the process, oh yes. But the salvation experience was not the end all. It wasn't, and it isn't. And Yeshua is coming back for not the church. I know that sounds so contradictory. He's coming back for a bride that resides mm-hmm. in the church. And not just any bride. A bride without spot or blemish. Which means we've got to continually, spiritually, go through the spiritual washing machine and keeping our garments clean, pure, mm-hmm. without any spot, without any blemishes. So I've got one more question for you. And then from there we'll transition into you giving them the information that I believe they so desperately need, and I pray that they see that need so that we can help to fulfill it in the name of Yeshua. And that is, what has the Hebraic understanding of this worship done to your worship?
The Hebraic understanding has really opened me up to just desiring to be taught the Father's way of how do I come to Him. I realized throughout my life He gave me nuggets to woo me. But now that I'm entering into His language, is what I call it. It's His language. Now He's like, I'm going to show you how to enter into that place with me, with your husband, with the comforter. And it has caused me to step back and really evaluate, you know, where is my heart in it? You know, am I busy? Am I just doing it just to be doing it? Or am I like, you know, I don't want to be like Zacharias, John's father, that I'm at the altar of innocence. I've been praying, which I have realized that has happened in one instance, where I'm not ready to either hear from my husband or the angel of the Lord on the instructions that I've been asking or prayer I've been asking about. And so
that's right.
It's caused me to be more sensitive and really be ready so that I'm not just stunned.
Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that all of you have gotten all of that information. But there's more information yet to be received. For those of you that want to know more, that want to understand the completeness of this whole ancient Jewish wedding concept that we've been talking about, as well as Zuhl College. I'm going to pass it right now to Evangelist Tanita so that she can give you the information that you need so that you can reach out and receive what you need to be fulfilled in your life. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist Tanita, if you would.
Yes. So if you have questions or questions that you would like to be asked or presented on the show, as well as for directions for our services, if you would email us at, it's two emails. The first one is to email your questions at office@bethesham.org. And then for directions, if you'll email us at bethesham@yahoo.com to attend services for directions. And as Rabbi has mentioned, we do have a Zuhl College, which I highly recommend for you to truly gain a personal growth in understanding your personal relationship. If you will email us at office@bethesham.org. We do have two websites in which you can research information on us as well as Zuhl College. And the first one is at www.bethesham.org. And then we have a Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministries. And, again, the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Praise Yah. I really am so blessed in the fact that we got a chance to reflect, and my prayer right now in the name of Yeshua is that this reflection became more than just an informational piece for you, but it also became an all-in, hey, there's got to be more to this than what I'm hearing that I desire to happen with me. So, Father, right now, Abba, right now, in the name of Yahushua, I ask that you begin to allow the visitation to happen with every single person that is listening that desires more from you. We are just a part of the messaging system that you've created for them to really begin to enter in, really begin to seek you, really begin to get a break understanding of all of what there is for them individually. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, I thank you, Father, that your word has gone forth and that you will receive the increase. We thank you, Ruach HaKodesh. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're blowing on each and every person's life, that you're fulfilling and that you're changing their circumstances, even as their faith begins to change, so that their circumstance begin to change. And that change, Father, we ask that it become permanent and not temporal. Permanent and not temporal. Permanent and not temporal. In the name of Yeshua. Until next broadcast, he's coming for his bride. Ask yourself the question, have I fulfilled all of the requirements that is necessary for him to consider me his Hebraic bride? In Yeshua's name, shalom, shalom. Until next broadcast.